Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, it's your friendly neighborhood Matt letting you know that I'm going to be performing this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in Spokane, Washington at the Spokane Comedy Club. I'll be performing my stand-up show June 6th, June 7th, June 8th. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, doing 4 shows total. You can get tickets on their website, get them before they sell out. It is Pride Month, so it is extremely homophobic if you don't show up and support me, okay? And don't worry, I'm coming to a whole bunch more cities soon. So if you're sad that I'm not coming to your place, chill. You can buy tickets at SpokaneComedyClub.com. Look for me, buy your tickets. I'll see you later. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the season finale of Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in the studio, as always, with my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Matt. Are you still just, like, daydreaming about that beautiful time this morning where I ate a hard-boiled egg in front of you?
I will murder you.
That seems appropriate because it's the season finale.
I feel like Mike should point out that you peeled a hard-boiled egg in front of me and then sprinkled everything bagel seasoning on top of it, and then
we didn't have salt.
There was a crunch noise that
because
happened.
Because of the garlic.
It was disgusting.
It was fine.
You should murder yourself.
You know what? Like I said, it's the season finale, so if there's ever a time to do that.
Yes, that's right. This is the season finale of Unhappy Hour. I'm taking June off, okay? Because it's Pride Month, and me taking a vacation is gay rights. But don't worry, we'll be back later in July, and we still got a great show for you today. We're going to kick things off, as always, with worst things first, the worst news of the week. After that, we are diving deep into heat, because it's hot right now. It's only going to get hotter, and every time a bead of sweat rolls down from the nape of my neck to the crest of my butt crack, I want you to think of my screams. And finally, we have a very special guest complainer. We have one of the final 4 hot guys of Hot Guy March Madness. Manny Jacinto is on the pod. Manny is an actor who you know and absolutely love as Jason Mendoza on The Good Place. And yes, I definitely accidentally called him Jason in his introduction right away. Fucked up. In my defense, he is one of the most strikingly handsome people I've ever seen in person.
I'm surprised you got through it at all.
I only had to change underwear twice. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's grab our mini fans and start the show. All right. Worst things first. The worst news of the week. First, Uber announced recently that they may soon start ejecting riders who develop a significantly below average rating.
Oh, boy.
So you better fucking shape up or Uber will kick your ass. Uber provided some tips on how drivers can keep their scores up. Get this. Don't leave trash in the vehicle and avoid requests for drivers to exceed the speed limit. I'm always tempted. I would love to be able to do that thing like in movies where they're like, there's $100 in it if you fucking floor it and ignore every red light. I've now been in two separate Ubers that have gotten pulled over, though. So I'm a darling. I'm an Uber darling. I got in an Uber once and the guy says, it says here you're a frequent user. I'm a mess. Next. This from the New York Daily News. Police say a hungry Florida woman, only in Florida, put up a whopper of a fight when she was denied free French fries at a Burger King in Miami-Dade County. Okay, so here's the story. A 42-year-old woman and her girlfriend, Pride Month. all felons are welcome here. They go to a Burger King drive-thru and they ask the drive-thru person, man or woman.
They, non-binary.
For free French fries. And whoever they were like, no, bitch. Except they probably were like, no, we're not giving you free French fries. So the two of them went inside the restaurant to confront them. Like, why the fuck didn't you give me free French fries? And then it quickly turned into a physical altercation. There is video of it. It suggests that the woman's girlfriend started the fight by jumping over the counter and punching the manager in the face after she threatened to call the police. And then the woman jumped over the counter herself and joined the assault. They also started demanding that they open the cash register. And then she threatened to pull out a gun, though she did not display one. And then, I don't know, somehow the girlfriend got away, I guess. So she's
exactly
still at large.
The kind of energy that we should be bringing into Pride Month. Free fries.
Put that on a float. Give me free fries or I'll punch you in the face. I will say, I know this is a controversial opinion that I have stated before, but Burger King is my fast food restaurant of choice.
Isn't it like widely known and accepted that their fries are the best?
I think that's controversial, though.
Okay. All right.
I mean, In-N-Out fries are universally the worst.
Disgusting.
They're like not even cardboard.
No.
They're a substance worse than cardboard.
However, they're milkshakes.
True. Honestly, this report doesn't say whether they were wearing crowns. I think if you're wearing a Burger King crown, you can commit as many crimes as you
want. You're the queen. You're the king.
You make the rules.
You're the monarch.
This is absolute rule. Divine. Divine law.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in Florida. Only in Florida. A 52-year-old man opened the seat of his toilet to find a 4-foot-long python.
Then
it bit him the arm.
I'm tapped out.
Here's what I'm confused by. How did it bite him on the arm?
Maybe it's his third arm.
Yeah, like, was it just poised to strike? And then he, like, lifted the lid and it just, like, fully Nagini'd him?
I'm actually starting to, like, panic. I can't think about the situation. I can't picture it. I'm too afraid.
This is why you always keep the toilet lid down, Grandma! I've talked about this on the pod before. My grandma famously yells at me for putting her toilet lid down.
Your grandma also famously lives on a house of snakes.
Also true.
Like above a whole world of snakes.
Yeah. The fact that they haven't found one inside is amazing to me. It's only a matter. Last time I was home, I took a video of it. I saw them writhing around in her backyard.
I can't. This is over for me.
Apparently, this particular breed of python they're smaller and so they make for good pets, but it was not this man's pet. So, yeah. And finally, a 19-year-old man in Florida, only in Florida, was pulled over during a traffic stop, but he decided not today, so he sped away. And then an hour later, he called 911 to be like, why the fuck haven't you arrested me yet? Do your jobs. Yeah, he called 911 in a rage. An excerpt from the 911 call, he says, I want to know. I, like, ran from a cop 30 minutes to an hour ago. I was the guy over there on King Estates. Like, what do we pay you guys for? I've driven past like four cops. Like, my question is, I'm assuming he put an APB out there and someone is looking for my car. So like, he definitely got the plate number, but I've passed like four cops just driving around. Like, what are you guys doing? A true citizen of the people. He's looking out for you guys.
I won't pay my taxes until you arrest me.
911, where's Sergeant Stacy?
Yeah, I want to know, so, like, I like, ran from a cop, like, 30 minutes to an hour ago. I was the guy who, over there off of Kings Estate. Like, what do we pay you guys for?
This is vigilante self-justice,
I guess.
And the irony is that the police ended up arresting him after tracking his phone call, not his license plate number. So he then told deputies that he had fled because it would be fun. But I love that he, who was charged with reckless driving, fleeing and eluding the cops, but also misusing 911. He turned himself in. How is that misusing 911? He reported a criminal himself.
There you go.
Take that, 911. Have you ever on purpose called 911? Did we talk about this before?
No. I've called 311 a bunch. For a number of like
just,
animals
just
that I see.
People
and like, and there was like a weird pipe burst situation, stuff like that. But I've never called 911, no. What about you?
Not on purpose. Yeah, my phone always accidentally does. Yeah. And then I'm like, great, now they're going to bust down my door. Anyway, that's it for Worst Things First. Next, we are diving deep into my bad place, the heat. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Deep dive. Deep dive. Well, it's officially June, Pride Month, bitch, and Hot Month. Because there's already been at least one hot day in New York, and it was nearly like 90 degrees, and I've had enough! My body is way too marshmallow-like to endure anything more than a light toast, okay? I'm like a nice biscuit. I need to be warm enough to make a pat of butter soft. No warmer, or I'll die. That's it. I've gotten into a number of arguments recently about whether hot or cold weather is better. So I'm here to officially put it on the record. Hot weather blows. You want to feel hot? Set yourself on fire, bitch. Wander into the desert, bitch. Don't come here promoting your filth opinion about hot weather. Keep it to yourself. So let's get into it. First! Hot makes you sweat.
Ugh.
And sweat is the devil's water. There is truly nothing worse than, I think it's truly the bead of sweat that when it falls just from the nape of your neck to the crest of your butt crack.
I fucking hate sweating more than anything. And apparently both of my parents aren't big sweaters, so where the hell did it come from?
I don't know. I don't know if we've truly deep dived into sweating before, but I could fill an hour sweating alone.
Easily.
I remember there was one morning where I took the subway and I was wearing shorts to work and they were like khaki shorts. And it was a very hot day and I was sitting down and I had my arms across my lap. And when I stood up at the end of the ride, there was a sweaty V that my arms had... had left just like a sweaty V pointing to my knees, basically the space between my knees.
Ugh.
Opening up like Pac-Man onto my genitals, and there was nothing I could do about it. I just had to wait around until it dried.
I know,
that's my biggest fear though, is like not being able to know where the stains will show up.
Having a Fergie situation on your hands,
yeah,
or more importantly in your groin.
Right Because, sorry, I have a moist crotch. It just so happens that I'm sweaty. I did not piss myself.
Yeah.
Or I did. There's no way to tell. Next! Hot is the temperature of the devil. Okay, last time I checked, hell was hot.
Boom!
Mic drop.
Yeah.
Also, hot is the temperature of anger.
Wow.
Is that what you want? That kind of negativity in your life? By supporting the hot, angry weather?
Hot weather also makes you angrier. I stand by that.
I mean, it literally does. That's why crime spikes in summer. It
makes me so mad.
Also because it's easier to do crime because there's no snow.
Because you're so slippery from all the sweat. You just slip away.
Next! All of my candy melts together! And I know, you're probably thinking, oh, Matt, you're a grown man. Why do you have candy just loose in one container? Because that's my right as an American. And fuck you, that's why. I shouldn't have to think about where I keep my candy. I shouldn't have to think about where I keep my candy. I should be able to freely throw my candy all over and it should stay preserved in the shape that it was intended. Also, hot weather is when the, like, straight white boy uniform levels up.
It is their time and it should not be.
Just button-ups, tube socks, thigh hair, thigh sweat. And worst of all, The salmon short.
You know what does not look good in salmon shorts?
Anything.
Sweat.
Also sweat. I think I had a pair in college.
You probably did.
Yeah. White.
With your Sperry's.
Hot. Yeah. Hot weather is boat shoe weather.
It's boat season, baby. Get on that yacht.
It's also when straight men think they can wear sandals. No, ma'am.
Get a pedicure.
No, ma'am. Yeah. I don't know why. Why do their toes look so muscular?
Because they do not get pedicures. That is like 25 years of calluses built on top of each other, layer after layer after layer.
There is just something about it. And it's only like straight male toes. Mm-hmm. But that they're like oddly muscular. They look like they can like twirl a baton.
It's very upsetting. A really tiny baton?
No, full-size baton.
Wow.
And they're doing nothing with it. The trick with straight white men in summer is just don't look at the salmon short. Mm-hmm. Don't look directly at it or their cloth belt. It'll suck you in. Also, when it's hot outside, the air smells like hot beef. This, I guess, is specific to New York. There's nothing like waking up on a hot New York City day and walking outside straight into a thick cloud of smoky meat.
It is so disgusting. It is just trash cooking. It is trash cooking. Also, it's if you took your trash can and put it in your fucking oven. That's the smell of the entire city.
Yeah.
Why do we live here?
It's just, it's just hot piss garbage. Someone tweeted the other day, there was a tweet thread where someone was like, what is the fact that like keeps you up regularly or that you think about regularly? And someone said, the fact that any garbage bag on the street could have a dead body in it.
Oh my God.
And now I'm like, fuck! I'm going to think about that always. Especially in the summer when it's like, oh, just hot. Although, to be fair, if I were going to dump a body in New York, I wouldn't even bother with a bag. Why would you? That's just wasted time. The only one that I'm like vaguely in favor of is the hot nuts that they sell in like Central
that
Park.
Smell?
They smell good. Never get them.
Yeah, they smell better than they taste. I was thinking about this with Auntie Anne's at the airport the other day. I was like, I wish that everything tasted the way that Auntie Anne's smells.
Yeah. I think I prefer the nut smell.
Also Chicago, although I think the chocolate factory closed, but there was a chocolate factory in Chicago, and some days you would walk out of the train and the whole city smelled like chocolate and it was glorious. It was luxurious. It was a childhood dream. But then other days you'd walk out and it's like the mix of that and trash.
Yeah.
And that was like this awful BO.
At least they have like alleyways in Chicago to store their garbage.
Yeah.
Also, the subway, this again is specific to New York, but the subway is just one long Dutch oven.
Oh my God.
In the summer. The subway platform is literally just all of our collective gases trapped in one hellish heat chamber. And we're just supposed to stand there and breathe like we're not inhaling everyone's butt juice.
Oh, God damn it.
Also, there's always one guy who decides he's going to bike to work every day and then doesn't stop even when it's 1,000 fucking degrees outside. And he walks in and he's just like fully wet. And it's like, we can smell what you had for dinner last night, you disgusting piece of garbage. I think, unless you're prepared to shower at work, don't ride your bike to work. Maybe that's elitist of me. But either walk on your peasant feet or take a goddamn car. I think, my least favorite thing about the heat is taking hot poops.
Oh my God.
On air conditioned bathrooms.
Ew.
We've all been there, all right? Where you have to fully get fully naked.
You have to fully commit.
You have to fully get naked and then take an ice cold shower afterwards. Because you stand up and the seat is just sopping. Thank God I have central AC.
God you live alone.
That to me is the most outrageous thing about living in New York is summer bathroom time.
Yeah.
Unless you're rich and you have a window unit in your bathroom.
Or a cooling bidet.
Or that.
Stick around for the chaser, y'all. I'm going to be talking about bidets.
And then undressing. Yeah, undressing when it's hot outside.
Disgusting.
It's just, especially on days where I wear Spanx, which is, it's usually on a special occasion. But,
hours.
I basically have to cut myself out of it.
Yep.
Just fully triage, like use the scissors that firemen use to cut ribbons.
And you can't even really put it in the hamper yet because it needs to like dry before it goes in there. It's awful.
I've thought so much about that. Like, where do I put my workout clothes?
I know. I hang them on the rim of the hamper and then the next day put them in the hamper.
So they just can aerate and spread the smell.
Yeah.
Throughout your entire house.
It's in a closet.
Finally, when it's hot out, I can smell my neighbor and the sickening amount of garlic that he uses in his chicken cacciatore. My building also, something is fucked up and the hallways are always 100 degrees.
Yeah, what is up with that?
And so it's just like, when it's hot outside, you can smell every smell that is cooking up in the building, whether human-made or otherwise. Permeates the walls. Permeates.
Consistently smells like fish in there.
There was a hot second where I thought chicken cacciatore was the funniest food, which is not untrue.
It's pretty funny.
Do I know what it is? No. Have I ever had it? Absolutely not. But is it funny? Yeah. It's because of the cacciatore of it.
All right. Thank you so much.
And because it's so garlicky. Also, garlic is not a summer seasoning.
False, but okay.
Especially, in New York, where they make walls as thin as the paper napkins in Greek restaurants. My walls look like the bottom of an empty pizza box. Anyway, the heat can suck my dick. I think everything should be ice cold. Ice, baby. Everything should be kept at a very low temperature. We should just install outside air conditioning. We should probably close the ozone because it's getting too hot in here. It's getting what?
Hot in here.
So let's impose a carbon tax on all of the largest corporations.
And take off all our clothes.
And that's it for this week's deep dive. Next, we've got Manny Jacinto right after this song ends and the next song starts. Okay, my guest complainer today is Manny Jacinto. Manny is an actor you know and love as Jason Mendoza on The Good Place. He is amazing. I'm so excited to talk to him. Welcome to the show, Jason. Hey. Manny, oh my God, I fucked up immediately.
It's all good.
Now you have to do the entire interview as
Jason Mendoza.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This isn't what I signed. I'm gonna just walk myself out.
Welcome to the show, Manny. We're so excited.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this. We always like to start off on Happy Hour by asking everybody, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves? Just to get our complaining juices flowing.
That I hate but everybody loves?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I'm going to get a lot of slack for this. I'm not a big foodie.
That is like just like any food?
Well, just especially being out here in LA, it's very much a foodie town or city.
Right, right.
Like you have to try this, you have to try that. I am very much food is for fuel kind of guy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. So we are enemies, I'm learning immediately.
It's all good. I mean, I think a part of that reason was just because of circumstances. Like I was like just being broke, you know, and being able to go out and treat yourself. I think that's a big part of it.
Right.
And I've kind of just learned to survive on like bread and carrots.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's good. That That is how it probably should be. But at this point, I can't deprive myself. I'm in too deep.
I see.
Once you've gone past the point of food being fuel, there's no going back to it.
Do you have a recommendation then as a advocate of foodies?
I mean, I've eaten stuff off the ground before.
Okay.
I'm like a bad person to ask. I'm the type who I order in so much that I can walk past a restaurant on the street that I order from always. And I'm like, oh, this is where it is.
Nice.
This is where they make it.
I mean, I'm definitely learning. Like, I am definitely appreciating things more in terms of the food world.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of had, I mean, there's just so much here in LA.
Yeah.
I feel like if you were to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at a different spot every day, you won't even touch half of the places.
No, right.
In Los Angeles. I think the rest of the cast are pretty big foodies, but I'm kind of the outsider.
I guess I've never really been on like a proper TV show set. You like partaking in a craft services table every day?
Yeah, it's where you can typically find Jamila.
Right.
That's where she is. I think it's kind of just like hanging out with a bunch of friends. It doesn't feel like work, and that's why we love going to work every single day.
Right.
Yeah.
It does seem like one of the shows where every interview that I read from anybody who partakes in the show is like, everybody says that we're all friends, but this is the one show that like we actually mean it about one another. And you can tell. I mean, I think it's hard to fake that.
Yeah, and I think a big proponent of that is Mike Schur. Like, he is the guy that brought us all together and made sure. And Allison Jones, our casting director, she was the one who was like, you know, bringing us all together and making sure that we all get along, because we're going to be together for who knows how long. For
she's like an icon.
Yeah, she is.
A casting icon.
Yeah, she apparently casted like Fresh Prince, which was one of my most favorite TV sitcoms on the planet. So she's a legend. She's an OG.
Yeah, I remember there was like this really long profile of her, and it might have been The New Yorker. I don't know. I always hate when I reference The New Yorker. But I feel like that was the first time that I remember reading about her, and I was like, oh my God, like this is a real skill to like put people together, to be able to like see what people will work together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like everybody has that friend who thinks that they can like match you up with someone, and then you meet the person and you're like, why the fuck did you introduce me to this person? And she has that skill in a professional way.
She is the Cupid for actors, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the difference that I first noticed with her is that she definitely took her time getting to know me, like even after the audition. Because the audition process, it can be very, very just like, say your lines, do this, readjust, and then, okay, thank you. But she was like, sat me down. She's like, where are you from? You know, what do you do? How long are you here for? And I was taken aback because of that.
Yeah.
So she definitely has a skill in that arena.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you met Will Smith? Is that like a goal?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Who doesn't want to meet Will Smith?
I don't know. He's one of those people where I'm like, you are on like a level that I just will never... I don't know if I could meet him and be like, we have nothing in common. The Venn diagram of my life and his life is so separate. Yeah.
What is it? The 6 degrees of separation instead of Kevin Bacon? It's
right. Will Smith. It's Will Smith. Yeah.
yeah. I mean, I will. The one thing I need to give credit for Mr. Will Smith, I don't actually know him or I've never met him, but he has these inspirational YouTube videos that I used to listen to when I was like down and out as like an artist or an actor or a dancer or just a kid. And whenever I needed some sort of motivation or pick me up, I'd listen to one of his videos because they're actually pretty inspirational. Yeah. And I, like I said, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was my go-to. Or it is still my go-to.
yeah. I feel like a Manny-Will meeting is in the cards.
We'll
it will happen. Yeah.
Yeah, manifest.
Yeah, he is doing a lot more like YouTube, Facebook stuff. I'm in the, I'm sort of in the YouTube world, and I have friends who are like, they like go to his house, and I don't understand. I don't understand how you like just go to Will Smith's house.
It's, yeah, you just got to be a part of that little group.
Yeah.
That
what I'm saying is you should get into YouTube videos. that's all it takes.
Maybe.
You have acted in some dramas. Mm-hmm. Obviously, The Good Place is a comedy. Is there, do you have like a preference, or is it just like what... Do you like comedy more than drama?
I think it's either or. I just like to switch things up. Like if at this point I'd like to go back to drama for a little bit. I just, to kind of just keep the juices going or the creativity flowing.
Yeah.
Because, before The Good Place it was all drama.
Mm-hmm.
It was all just, you know, digging deep into this character and like subtext, all that actor talk and stuff.
Yeah.
And then when I got down to L.A., and I did The Good Place audition, it switched, completely changed things.
Yeah.
And then now I'm going out just for comedies mainly. But so it's, we're definitely trying to switch it up. And I would like to switch it up because there's definitely a lot of things that I still want to explore in the acting world.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess it's hard if you have like, I guess... a quote unquote breakout role as in one genre, and then you don't want to get like typecast in that one thing. Even though Jason is a very complex character, I guess.
He very much is. Oh, he's so complex.
Yeah, I was reading something where you said that like you amongst some of the other cast members are probably the most serious on set.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know if you stand by that, but I mean, maybe you just have that kind of like serious dramatic soul that is there no matter what.
Yeah, I think it just comes with the job. It's like, I feel, or maybe I'm wrong, but when you play somebody that's super serious, you keep it light on set.
Yeah.
And then vice versa.
When
you play someone that's, you know, out there, you kind of go back to being like an introvert or more quiet and more serious. I think it's just kind of the way it goes, I think.
Yeah.
When you play somebody that's not necessarily you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because I was also reading that you said you probably identify more with Chidi's, like Chidi as a character than as...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. In terms of like the anxiety and like nervousness, I can definitely identify with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would love an episode where me and Will just switch characters. That would be amazing.
I'd also, love to see him as Jason.
Yeah.
So.
He would play an amazing Jason. He's, don't count William Jackson Harper out. He's an amazing actor. So.
No, he is. Yeah. He's amazing. No, I love Jason as a character. I feel like he is one of the rare kind of like bro-y characters on TV that is also not like you like him.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And part of that is because he's kind of an idiot. So most bros, you're like, you should know better. But Jason is like, he doesn't know better.
Yeah, I think that is definitely the appeal of Jason for sure. And I remember that's kind of what we worked at in the audition and the callback process.
Yeah,
you know, like he is a dummy, but then Mike and the producers, like Drew, and all those guys were like, you know, he's a dummy, but you know, make sure that he has, you know, that, but he has a heart. He has that innocence about him,
right?
And that kind of is what attracted me to, and kind of I resonated with, other than the fact that, he's hilarious.
Right. and ridiculous.
Yeah.
I liked that you have talked about how much your parents are fans of yours how they follow everything that you do. And
secretly,
Like, I don't know. I feel weird when my parents are like, watch or do like, listen to anything that I do. Are you ever like weirded out by, oh, they're going to see this thing that I did or this thing that I said?
I never try to worry about it too much. But the thing that is probably the weirdest for me is like when my dad goes, oh, did you see this thing on Twitter about, you know, The Good Place and they talked about your scene or whatever, or did you see this thing on Twitter? And my dad does not have Twitter. So it's just like, where is he getting this?
Yeah.
I guess he just searches my name in Twitter or The Good Place in Twitter.
That's a dangerous game. Yeah.
Yeah. So things like that, like he can find even the smallest interviews or like conversations that I've had, if it's online, he's able to find it.
Yeah.
I try not to think about it too much because it'll almost filter too much of what I have to say.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the most part, I think he appreciates what I say about them.
Wild left turn. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about Florida on this podcast.
Yes.
And how ridiculous Florida is. Jason Mendoza, as a character, is from Jacksonville, Florida, and embodies much of what Florida is.
Yeah.
Have you been to Florida?
Joe Mandy, one of our writers/producers, and I went to Jacksonville for a playoff football game.
Right, that's right.
That was
right.
The only time, yeah.
And that was the only time you'd been there?
Yeah, yeah.
So you just, like, knew the Florida vibe.
If you call it that, it's it's interesting, to say the least. Yeah, I mean, you hear so many weird stories about Florida in general and Jacksonville. But, yeah, going there, I didn't know what to expect, so I was very open. And the weirdest, it was just eerie almost. It was like a Friday night or Saturday night, uh-huh. and there was nobody around in downtown. It was just like empty. And it was like the Buffalo Bills versus the Jaguars, and it was only Bills fans around downtown, and they were all like, where is everyone? And then we took like a little boat to get to the stadium.
Yeah.
I've never done that before.
Is it like on an island?
It's surrounded by water. Okay. I don't know if it's a river or a lake.
Sure.
But yeah, we took this like little boat to get to the stadium. So that was cool, but also weird.
Yeah.
Their stadiums have jacuzzis or pools.
Sure. Why not?
I know. Apparently, that's...
I just feel like Florida was like a six-year-old boy's like dream that came to life. There's just like alligators running around, dinosaurs, like swimming pools.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually like pretty beautiful when it's like sunny out and everything, but yeah, it's a little weird sometimes.
Yeah, I think Florida is such a specific stereotype of like a type of person that you embody.
Thanks.
As Jason.
Yes, yeah.
I did read that the kind of voice that you use as Jason was inspired perhaps by a YouTube video.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you want to reveal.
You've done your research, yeah. I can't reveal who it is or what it was, but yeah, it was very much from this YouTube video that kind of just aligned at the time.
Was it a like famous YouTuber?
No. Okay. No. It's kind of like one of those random videos that you see online that gets viral.
And you're like, oh, this is who I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will ask, is there anything about your coworkers, since we know many of them, many of them have been on the show. I'm sure they listen every week. Is there anything that you want to say about them, get off your chest in this moment? We could start with, I mean, Darcy, worst thing about Darcy.
This is why we have the interview right now, just to dish out on all our cast members. Worst thing about Darcy. I honestly can't say any bad things about my cast.
How about we flip the script and what do you love about Darcy?
Oh, Darcy is like, she's just this, she has this, what do you call it, this 7-year-old or 8-year-old kid vibe about her.
Yeah.
She just has so much loving energy.
Yeah.
And I think she told me about like how, like, as she was a kid, she was like very energetic and, you know, kind of nonstop. And she still kind of carries that. She still has that essence about her.
Yeah.
In a very good way. She has that positive, loving vibe, especially when I first met her. I feel like she's kind of like our glue.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Best thing about William Jackson Harper.
Will is the weirdest guy ever.
Good. That's what I like to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have weird senses of humor. Uh-huh. And I think I can always go to Will to, like, if I'm going to crack a joke or like do something with a line,
uh-huh.
I can always kind of count on Will to get some sort of validation that was weird and good and fun.
Yeah.
Because everybody else would be like, what the heck are you doing? But Will will just laugh his butt off.
So he's an enabler.
Yes, exactly.
That person is either a cheerleader or an enabler.
Yeah. He gets my sense of humor. Like, we have a very similar sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. And then I guess to round out the four, Jamila.
The great thing about Jamila is she's incredibly smart, mm-hmm. but she can also say the most like raunchy things in the most sophisticated manner.
Uh-huh.
And it's such a skill, and it's just crazy. She has a very good, because when you first see Jamila, she's very like tall and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has a very good way of just like, you know, disarming
yeah.
the person who's kind of like taken aback by this this beautiful giraffe
right.
or whatever. yeah, she's like, oh no, like, how are you? And like, she's very, what do you call it? Like one-on-one, like what's the word? Personable. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's really good at that. Yeah. So that's what I definitely admire about her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. You're all, you know. Yeah. Everybody seems to like one another. Or at least you hide your dislike very yes. well.
Yeah, after this, I'm just going to go off in the car.
Right, yeah. Pull out your voodoo dolls of everybody exactly. and stick the pins in. Yeah. So I guess like some of the next stuff coming up, you're going to be in Top Gun?
Yes, yeah.
Is there a beachless, a shirtless beach volleyball scene happening?
I can't talk too much about Top Gun.
Okay, mean, fine.
Yeah. But it's a beast of a film in terms of how it's getting done. And I don't know, I've never been a part of something like this before.
Mm-hmm.
And also just hearing from fans of the first one.
Right.
It's an incredible film to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also very much down the line. 2020.
So, right. Yeah. Some of my like generic, the worst questions. Mm. What is the worst thing someone could come up to you and say? Besides calling you Jason.
I think, can I see your butthole is probably the worst. Yeah.
Wait, is that a line from the show? Okay. I'm glad it is.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't, that would be very extreme. But yeah, they kind of set you up for that one.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. You need to get the writers. Every time someone says that to you, they should pay you.
Yeah. Yeah, like a residual fee.
How much does that happen?
It hasn't happened a lot. No, it's usually maybe on social media, but like
sure.
in person interaction, I'm dreading it.
Like, yeah, yeah.
And I'm also kind of dreading having to say that out loud because I just know that somebody listening will probably try and do it. But
yeah, that is the downside of a successful show is that yeah. now
it's all
that's
good.
The line.
Yeah.
Do you have a recollection of like the worst audition experience that you've had?
Oh yeah, the audition probably like a week before in The Good Place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a comedy. And I remember coming in and you know, being pretty confident and you know, knowing what to do. I was there early, you know. And I think it was actually my first comedic audition.
Uh-huh.
And then so I went in and it had huge like paragraphs, like almost monologues, and I stopped. Like I couldn't continue. Like there's a rhythm to comedy, and yeah. I couldn't get the rhythm down with memorizing it. So I was like, oh, I was too in my head, and I would just keep stopping at this one point. And then at that point, the casting director stopped me for the last time, and she was like, "You do know that this is comedy, right?" And she was completely serious. Like I was like, Yeah, I know. I didn't want to say anything and like be like, you know, but she stopped me and she's like, okay, well, thank you. And
yeah.
She kind of showed me out the door.
Right, right.
But then the great thing about that was I learned my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I adjusted in terms of what I had to do when I auditioned for a comedy. And then lo and behold, The Good Place was a week later.
Yeah.
And then I was able to make my adjustments and take those lessons in into that.
Right. Yeah. So we have we asked both William Jackson Harper and Darcy about if you could describe what your bad place looks like, what would it be?
My bad place. I think it's sitting in traffic.
Okay, yeah.
That's my bad place. Like sitting in traffic with no AC.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. That's the one thing that pops into my head like the most.
Yeah. Well, you definitely came to a great city.
Yeah.
You really sought out your bad place because, yeah, that's most of what LA is.
Yeah. Sitting in traffic is the worst.
Yeah. So before we let you go, we like to ask everybody, where can they find you on the internet? Where can they find your work besides, obviously, on The Good Place?
Yeah, I think right now, at this point, it's The Good Place and Top Gun, if anything. Those are the things that are on the plate right now.
Awesome. And then you're on the Gram, Twitter,
yes.
All those places.
Yes, the Gram and Twitter. Yeah. M. Jacinto with a zero at the end.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't post too much, so please forgive me, but... I am there.
We'll work on
present.
It. Yeah. We're working on that and your YouTube presence so that
yes.
The Will Smith collaboration can happen. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad stuff go down easier. Starting with the shows we've been watching this week. Barry, what you watching?
Someone on Twitter mentioned this, and I already have been planning on it, but I started The Society, which was fun. I have a group of friends who really love Riverdale, and we have not just a text group chat, but also an Instagram group chat where we're able to more easily share Riverdale things from Instagram. So they were the ones who were like, have you guys watched The Society? and it's very much up my alley, and I'm really into it so far. But it's basically like these kids go, there's this weird smell in the town, and the parents are like, we got to bus all the kids out of here. So they bus all the kids out, and then when they come back, it's like all the parents are gone. And then they're like, wait, like something's not right. This isn't home. And you're trying to figure out like what it is. And then eventually they're going to like, it like gets into like to how different governments are formed and like socialism.
Okay.
I'm very excited. They're all
Animal
hot.
Farm.
They're all, yeah. So I started watching that. Saw Detective Pikachu again, this time with my cousin who growing up was obsessed with Pokemon. I also saw it High this time, and that was very fun. So that's what I've been watching. What about you?
I'm almost done with my Golden Girls binge.
Wow.
First time binge.
How many seasons are there?
There are 6 seasons, 25 episodes each.
You know what?
Seven.
I thought
seven
that this
seasons.
Was one of those shows that went on for like 19 seasons.
No.
Okay.
I will say the farther I get into it, there are a number of very heavy episodes that are so out of nowhere. There's one episode where Rose realizes she might have gotten HIV from a surgery she had like 10 years ago.
Oh my God.
It's just like, what? yeah. It's just out of nowhere. Also, some episodes have not aged well. And then movie-wise, I saw Booksmart. Highly recommend.
I can't wait. I want to see it.
Honestly, like one of my fave movies.
Wow.
It was so funny. If you don't know, Booksmart stars Beanie Feldstein, who was in Lady Bird. She's also Jonah Hill's sister, which I think is funny.
I did not know that.
But it's very like super bad-esque in that it's like one crazy night that gets crazier and crazier as it goes on. But the premise is that both her and her best friend in the movie are like the straight A students who only like studied and didn't party at all. And it's the night before graduation and they realize that everybody else who did party is still like gonna go to the same schools that they're going to, and they realize like, oh, we wasted our entire high school careers being nerds, so they want to have like one crazy night. And it was very funny, but like legitimately laugh out loud. Directed by Olivia Wilde.
Love her.
Yeah, Billy Lord is also in it, and so funny. Carrie Fisher's daughter.
Oh.
Debbie Reynolds' granddaughter. Mm-hmm. This is a dynasty we're talking about.
Yeah.
And apparently you know nothing about it. What's your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser is truly something that helped the bad shit go down. It's a bidet!
Wait, a bidet? Okay, walk me through it.
So, it's not a full bidet. It was a bidet toilet seat. I should say my first chaser is that my amazing, wonderful older sister, Becca, I only have one sister. Her name is Rebecca Finkel, and I love her with all my heart. You have met her. You love her. And all of you listeners have met her. No, she's getting married. And so we had her bachelorette party and we just like stayed in Chicago, but at a very fun hotel. And that hotel had a bidet toilet seat. And at first we sat down and we were just like, whoa, this is a very warm toilet seat. Crazy. But we didn't realize it was like a full bidet. And at first the warming sensation was like a little weird. But then once I got used to it, I was like, this is the greatest thing to ever sit upon. And then it's the bidet. So it like, you know, it like washes you off. But it also has a dryer in it. And you just like press these buttons. You can control how high it like oscillates. I don't know what the words are. But it just was the greatest pleasure. I like kept wanting to eat more and drink more so that I wouldn't need to go to the bathroom more.
Okay, weird.
They're like very expensive. So now I'm just like, I want to get married just to put this on my registry because they're like $1,500 for the toilet seat. But geez.
Yeah, I feel like they must be making them now where you can get it like all in one. So it's cheaper.
Well, they make a toilet seat that is cheaper. And so this is like the creme de la creme of bidet toilet seats. I think it's called Toto, T-O-T-O. Not that I'm going to buy it because I don't have like a spare $1,500 to spend on a thing I shit on. But it's my dream now.
I mean, if anybody from Toto is listening and want to give us some free bidets.
Please. Please. Yeah, it was my chaser. It's like all I could talk about. I took more photos of that toilet seat than I did of my sister on her bachelorette weekend. What's your chaser?
Well, two, I forgot to mention, I saw Booksmart at the theater near my apartment. I realized because it was the other night and it was like 10 p.m. And I was like, I wonder if it's playing still. And I just went to the theater at like 10 p.m. by myself to watch it. But I realized AMC, I'm not being paid to talk about it, but they have their version of like MoviePass.
Oh.
And one AMC ticket is $17 at my theater.
Insane.
And a monthly thing is $23.
What?
To see three movies a week, up to three a week.
Well, so that's a deal right there, everybody. And that right there is a deal.
So I joined it. And now I have to go see more movies. I mean, that's the thing. I will go see more. And then they probably make money off of concessions anyway. But I'm like, why? If I see one more movie this month, it's paid for itself. I'm gonna milk them dry. This is exactly what happened to MoviePass. Enough people started talking about it. And then they realized they could not keep up. And then my second one is, well, we'll see. I'm saying this early on, but I found a personal trainer who's coming to my apartment.
Oh, yeah.
I really wanted to find a trainer because I don't love working out in front of other people. Although the opposite now is that it's going to be just me and this man in a room that's going to be kind of weird.
It'll be just like this.
Yeah. He has a very heavy Eastern European energy.
It'll be just like this.
Although I think he told me he was from Switzerland. Anyway, he does fully terrify me, which I guess is a good thing. He also has, I really hope he doesn't listen to this. It's just going to
be. Are you going to talk about the girlfriend thing?
Don't. Well, what he told me as he was leaving, well, he was like, you know, any plans this weekend? And I was like, I don't know. There's a couple like birthday things happening. And he was like, yeah, I like just had to move because my girlfriend and I broke up like 3 weeks ago. And as he was leaving, I said, you can take it out on me.
What does that even mean? What do you want that to do? When he just yells at you to work out?
Yeah.
All right. Did he respond?
He laughed. I mean, I think it landed in the moment.
Okay, good, good.
But afterwards, I was like, yeah, that was out of context. Even in context, what a weird to say. It's just really wild. I did not mean it to be sexual. It was just like, yeah. I think the whole time we were talking, because it wasn't, we didn't do anything. We didn't train yet. It was just like getting
training
to
your
know
mind.
You.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was like, I'm a lazy piece of shit and I need someone to tell me what to do and when to do it. So the whole time I was like, I need, you're going to have to like, you're going to have to
do me.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Also, another chaser is this whole season. It's crazy. We're at almost 100 episodes.
I can't believe we're not at 100 episodes yet.
I know, but we're almost there. And I'll miss recording every week for the next month, but then we'll be back.
Yeah, we're going to get some more interviews and get ready for another great season.
Yeah. If you have people you want to have on as guest complainers, listeners, tweet at us. And yeah, we'll miss you.
And until Harry Styles agrees, there's no end in sight.
Yeah, we are doing the show until that happens.
I will do this post-apocalyptic from my tornado bunker. Until he says yes. And that's it! Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Music by Hans Dalsu. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you when we're back. Bye-bye. When will I see you again?